we move forward in our dissertation, in the coursing of eternal insight. Here we have for some time now and some time going forward basically gone through this exposition from the document, which hopefully everyone has a copy. If not, there are some in the back. Raise your hand and the ushers will make sure that you have one. Repeat after me. And this is volume 2. Scripture distinctions. Actualization in eternity. From manifestation in time. Let's go to page, bottom of page 10. And of course, in that sector, that is page 9. From page 9, we're focusing on, and repeat after me, relativism. In scriptural ontology. Now we're going to take our time on this. How do we relate? We relate through the scriptures. We relate through God's word. We relate to God. And so our dependence for comprehension is by faith. Last week we were in Hebrews chapter 11, and it got to verse 3. It says, by faith we understand. By faith. Why is it necessary that the medium is faith? I mean, I've got 20/20, I've got eyesight, I can. And Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, so we don't use that. I'm just paraphrasing. We're not looking at what? The things being seen. Because they're temporary. And they're moving. You say, well, I see this and it's true. What part of that is true? Because what you saw a moment ago has changed. It's moving and it's changing. And it may not even be visible anymore. So now the question is, you got to quote, use your brains and do some recollection as to what you saw. Because it's not before you to gaze on. It's gone. So we're looking at the unseen. The seen is physical. It's dissipating. Everything physical is dissipating. We're looking at the unseen. That's spiritual. What is its endurance? Tenure? Forever. Eternal. Everybody say eternal.
Eternal.
That means it is, and it, quote, ain't going nowhere. So how do we view the unseen? Is that we're looking at the saying, God's saying. In that third verse, we're not going to go back there today. I've got something else I'm going to pull a nugget out of.
All right.
But it speaks to the end that everything in the age were created according to a saying of God. So that what's appearing or being revealed is not coming out of what you see. Where is it coming from? What God said. One saying. No, no, God is not creating data. Everything that is to be already is and has been. And of course, you only can accept that when you go outside of the realm of humanism,
right,
and physicality and secularism,
right,
to try to put a gauge on God. So all of these things are temporary. God is eternal. Everybody say God is eternal.
God is eternal.
So when we speak of relativism or how things relate, we go to the scriptures. And that's what that means, relativism in scriptural ontology. Ontology is a study of existence. Mm-hmm. So how do we relate to existence? We relate to God.
Right.
How do you relate to God? Mm-hmm. Through the scriptures. Through the word. Through the same.
Yeah.
All right, Deacon Gavin is our designated reader this morning. Let's go to page bottom of page 10. Now, for those that are watching and listening, we say welcome, amen. Through our ministry on our webcast. And if you go to our website and you look at it, either the audio or video sector, you will find this document script in there. And if you put your cursor on it, your mouse, left click, and this document comes up in its entirety. And it would be a great aid in following along with us as we move through this. Scripturally, I want to concomitantly with, that is, accompanying this, Hebrews chapter 11 that we've read, and Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, well, we've read that, and what we are dealing with there is the essence of all things being in Christ. All creation in Him rather than by Him. So now, what that leads to is all things are about Him. Which means that we've got to get out of the way if we're going to see what's going on.
Yes, yes. Hallelujah. Amen.
And be removed as the mental pole. In this 13th chapter of Romans. Now, many go to there basically, they are ensnared in processes which doesn't add up to what Paul is saying there. They go to this passage and say, now we should obey all of the laws and so forth and so on, and all of our rulers, because God has raised them up and He has made them over us, and basically, we should do what they say do, and so forth and so on. And that, no way could that be true as Paul writes this, because who's in control? No, I mean on the earth, as far as Rome. What he is dealing with in this first verse goes deeper than the process. It's the purpose. In other words, we don't have to fight Rome because, amen, God has purposed what's coming down the pike. And at some point, those who think they're in power will learn that they never were in power. But you got to say the same thing about everything. Everything that exists. Everything that is happening,
mm-hmm,
as far as I see, mm-hmm, every part of our lives that are laid out before us,
yes, yes. Bring it out.
We didn't do any of it.
Hallelujah.
as you read in these passages, you will see passive voices. And Brother Deacon, make sure you got your Greek lexicon. You guys get your take your. We're going to do some exegesis this morning. It's necessary because Paul makes a very penetrating statement in verse 1, not the general statement endorsing the Roman government ruling or any government. He's basically saying to us that things are the way they are and move the way they are according to God's pre-arrangement and design, according to His purpose of what pleased Him. And what you're seeing is coming out of the same. What He's already said in eternity. In eternity, things don't change.
No.
They don't move. They are. Whatever is, is. And this is so important concerning our course in life.
Come on.
And we look around and we see things and they frighten us. They discourage us.
Yes.
They depress many of God's people because we're looking at it as though that is it.
I hear you.
Listen to what I'm saying this morning.
I hear you.
What you see is not it.
Amen.
What you see is a component, testimonial depiction for the purpose of what it is.
I hear you.
So now the question is, what is it? Brother Deacon, first read that, everybody, Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Read that. And this morning, we are probably going to have a mixture of textual natural and textual synthetic as we focus on just this one verse and, of course, as we contextualize what Paul is saying here. And as he writes, this doesn't make sense because he was saying, don't rebel against them in the sense of raising up an army.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times that God causes armies to be raised up.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, Paul is stating that God has arranged this. And don't worry. According to His will,
yes.
According to His word,
mm-hmm.
Everything that you see in time changes.
Amen.
What's in one frame,
amen,
can be a complete different thing in another frame.
Amen. Amen.
Now, here we're in the first century.
Yes.
By the time you get to the fifth or the sixth century, where's Rome?
Don't.
Wiped out. I mean, as a world power.
Well,
who took him down? Well, the barbarians. No. You're looking at processes. And as we read during the pastor's pen, processes many times, process doesn't add up, does it? We saw that, you know. Based on process, we shouldn't be able to look up and see the moon. That is, if the earth is 5 billion years old. You know, it's at the rating physical processes. Shouldn't be any helium-4 left in the universe. no comets should be in our solar system. If you look at deterioration, according and termination, according to processes. And of all the things that they did, you don't see Paul writing to say, let's get together and do this, that, and the other. All that has happened as far as those that rose up to fight against injustices and so forth. God caused that. Mm-hmm. That was his process for it. But not always. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the testimony is that thing fell apart all by itself. Mm-hmm. That's right. And we've got to realize that when challenges come up, our personal lives. You say, I got to do this. I got to do that. My greatest testimonies have been when I did nothing because there was nothing I could do.
Come on here.
And God put me in that position.
Yeah.
Because he wanted his purpose.
Yeah.
To be the dominating factor in testimony. Because if it went through some process and I thought that I had something to do with it, y'all don't hear me this morning. Then we're into illusions instead of fact. Process is couched in illusions. Purpose is the determinant fact of what is. Because that's what it was. So as we look at this morning, even though in verse 2 he's basically telling them that verse 3, he's dealing with the fact that don't worry about what the so-called powers and authorities are doing in the sense that you're called to do something in relation to it. Our avocation and calling, in the truest sense, is spelled out in Ephesians, wherein it conveys what God supplied to the body of Christ. And he gave some what? Apostles? What? Prophets? What? Pastors and teachers? Evangelists? For what purpose? Now for us organizing and marching against Lansing. Marching against Washington. Marching against the world councils. Going up against the civil laws that we don't like. Shutting down abortion clinics as horrible as they are. No. Except for the work of the ministry. What is the work of the ministry? What does it say? The building up of the church, the body of Christ. How are we doing this? Through ministering the message.
I hear you.
Just like God took care of Rome, he'll take care of all the other things that we just brought up. Now, does God use processes in testimony? Yes, but they're not causative.
Come on here.
Because you can do the same thing. Time A, it works. And time B, it doesn't. But what we have to do is we have to look and see what things actually are and why. Because there's something out there that's bugging you. That's making you miserable. That has you complexed. Flung, disappointed. Miserable. Some of God's people are basket cases. Because we can't cope with, quote, what's out there. Well, what's out there? Because we've been told that the devil is a creator. Well, then who created the devil? It's all for purpose. And by the way, he has to be enabled. And while he may be an accommodator, he is not the source of purpose. Which is completely in God. And this is what this first verse, as we're going to exegete in a minute, will convey to us. I'm going to go through this slowly and not going to be as long as I usually am this morning. Because I want you to go take this with you. And see what Paul actually said. All right, Brother Deacon, read that first in King James, and then we'll talk about how it is normally interpreted, and then we'll go to the Greek, and we're going to exegete before we do an explication to know what the utterance actually is. Read.
Reading from Romans, the 13th chapter, beginning verse 1. King James Version. Let.
Let's read it out. Just read what's there.
Every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there
stop.
Is.
Stop. In this penetrating statement, Paul is not talking about the Roman authority. I need the powers. Read.
For there is no power but of God.
Man, that's where we go.
The powers that be are ordained of God.
All right, let's go to the Greek there.
Now Romans chapter 13, verse 1, interlineal Greek text. Every soul.
Every creature, every of creation.
Authority.
Everything that's in creation.
Authorities to superior, let be subject.
For stop, stop. We're going to start exegeting before we get through this. I'm of course, whenever you see that word let in English there, what they've done is they're taking the imperative mood and saying let, which means allow. And if they're addressing me, that's basically saying that I have some power to do it
right.
or not do it. And of course, in the old archaic English, that word let had two connotations. It meant to either hinder or allow. But in each case, it's saying something you can do. But here Paul is talking about the arrangement of the ages. Creation. Which in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, lets us know that it's all in Him, regardless of what it is, including dominions and thrones, authorities, whatever they are. They're in Him. Follow what this is basically saying. Each and every creation I love it. Authorities, dominions. Look at the verb next to that, and to his credit, he tries to translate that to superior. Brother Deacon, look at your Greek lexicon there. Follow it closely. They translate that higher. Higher authorities are higher powers. You see that he's got a footnote there. Here you have the Greek word hyperexousos. They're translating that har, which would make it an adjective. What is that, Brother Deacon? That's a verb. That's an action word. That's why he put two in front of it. As you look at that Greek word there, that's translated higher to superior, as we look at this. What is he saying about creation? He's saying what has been done with it. You see the Greek word there? That's let be subject. I'm going to go slow here. Must be. Because it has been subjected. Imperative. Mood. But you got the other verb there that's doing what? It's saying that all of creation ascends to the highest. Everything that you see, even the things we don't like, they ascend to the highest.
Amen.
Things in our lives, they all ascend to the highest. Every process of everything that you see out there ascends to the highest. Everything out there, listen to me, is subject to the purpose of God.
Yes, sir.
I hear you.
Yes, sir. Oh,
yeah. It's in subordination. Process subordinates to purpose. The higher ascending power or authority is God's purpose. Whatever is happening out there in your life.
Amen.
I lost my job. It ascends to the higher purpose of God.
Amen.
Every relationship, a non-relationship, ascends to the authority and high purpose of God. Every bit in your life. I lost my house. I lost a loved one. I sinned. To the supreme purpose of God. That thing is not standing still, it's moving, but ultimately, its direction points where? To the purpose of God. And this is why we have to relate everything to God. Now, I'm going to take time and go through this two or three times. And then, what Paul was basically saying to them is that who put Rome in power? So, well, they raised up an army and they died and this and that and happened and so forth and so on. And you ever wondered as you look around in life and you see things that, why is it, it looks like the most ruthless people are the richest? The humble people don't have anything.
Bring it out. Bring it out. Hallelujah.
Why is it that the most ruthless of character is elevated and become the ruler of nations? In World War II, Nazi Germany, Hitler, perverted man, according to history. Communist Russia. But you can come on right down here to the United States. A lot of those that are set in office that are revered, ruthless. Many in our circles of Christians, we love the brethren. We got to get together and we got to put godly men in power. No. How you going to put somebody in power?
I hear you.
Every election that they've ever had in this country, the person that won is the person God raised up and put in that frame for that time and that for his purpose. So if this person was in office, then we wouldn't have done that and the other. The only person that could have been in office was that person. And they could have only done what had been decreed. And they couldn't have done anything else because nothing else could have happened except, and we'll get to that in a minute in this verse, except what has happened. So all of existence ascends to the highest of superiority, and that is in God, because everything is in him. In Colossians 1:16, didn't it save? It goes down the list, litany. So everything that you can name and everything that you can think of is in him. And through him. For him. For his purpose. That very unfortunate incident or situation. Yes, that too. We're so busy focusing on ourselves. Charity time. We're not focused on him. What is God doing with this? Instead of what I'm doing. Of course, the Lord has to give you this insight. He has to cause you to focus on him. and understand that whatever that thing is, it ascends to the high, to the height of superiority. God has use for it. God has a purpose for it. I may not like the way it's happening or moving, but I'm not the architect of the universe. I'm not the creator and maker of existence. Now, and I see now the time's really moving on me this morning. As we look at this, all things move according to His will and His purpose, according to what God has for it. It goes God's way. And that's tough for us to understand.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes things display and portray cruelty, injustice.
Yes.
And we get all journeyed out of shape.
Yes, we do.
All of us. That's the human makeup. Yes. And we plan something in this. I know that this is the right way, and it doesn't go that way. And then some think they have to make excuses for God. And say, well, you know, you didn't do this, so God didn't do that. So now God is tit for tat. Which means we would all be dead by now.
Hallelujah, I hear you.
Hallelujah, I hear you. That's the way it was. No. Can God bring good out of bad? Well, the purpose of it was good. Even though it portrayed as bad.
Oh, yeah.
No, Joseph told his brothers, you meant that thing for
evil.
But God.
God.
Everybody said, but God.
But God.
And that's what we've got to bring into the equations of our lives.
Man.
This is happening, but God.
Yeah. Come on here.
That's happening, but God.
Yeah.
Not, what is this? What is this for? In Him, through Him, for Him. What is God bringing out of this? How can God get glory out of that? Because I'm looking at it through my eyes. And using my senses. And I'm assessing upon what I see. Completely disregarding what God has said. That thing is for something. According to His will and His purpose. Whatever is going on in your life this morning. You know, it starts with salvation. Whatever you think about salvation,
amen,
it works its way right on down into your everyday life.
Amen.
You know, if God never in this life as far as processes and testimonial coursing ever gave you, quote, the desires of your heart, you know, they say, delight in Him, and then, okay. The first part is to delight in Him. How do we delight in Him? Lord, Your will, not mine. Your way, not mine. Whatever you take this, where you take it, amen, I know ultimately, as it ascends to the superiorness of your being, that it works for me, not against me.
Never.
Eternally. I'm not talking about these temporary nouns.
Listen.
But eternally. It works for us, not against us. And so he was saying to them in this verse, everything is as it is because that's the way God prearranged it for his purpose. And it all is ascending into, and whatever is that in that frame and the next frame, so forth and so on, ultimately, these are all manifestations in time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That must be distinguished from actualization
yeah.
in eternity.
Yeah.
So whatever seems messed up in time, that thing is straight in eternity. Prophets say, I will make the crooked straight. Whatever it is, whatever's wrong, I make it right. But that's speaking from frames. When you get to the essence of eternity, you can say, that thing always was right. Oh, give the Lord a praise this morning. Because that's the essence of it. What it is actualized in eternality. The ultimate end of it. Because time is passing. And so as he lays out this course and goes through in verse 3 and so forth and so on there, he's telling them basically, you know, that, hey, we don't have to worry about those fellows.
No.
And you know he wasn't telling them to just go along with the program was there, but he said, God's got that there for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. What did he tell Moses and the children of Israel? They were trapped by Pharaoh's army. He said, do what? Stand still and do what?
Yeah, see.
See the deliverance of the Lord. And that's what we got to do in our situations in life.
Yes.
God, help us to stand still and see the deliverance of the Lord.
Yes.
The Lord caused me to trust you. To know from the fundamentals of salvation that if he saved me, that's the greatest thing about me, is that I'm a member of the body of Christ.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. And whatever is happening in time,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
it is for a season,
mm-hmm.
for a purpose,
yes, sir.
And ultimately,
ultimately,
I'm in the body of Christ. Because that's where he placed me in eternity, and I've never left him. Who you are in Christ overshadows who you are in these bodies, where you are, and what stage of your life is permanent. None of it. None of it. You know, the King James has that script in the set, and it came what?
To pass.
And it passes. So I said, well, I sure hope that this hurry up. No. We don't set the course.
No.
The
no.
agenda. We don't set any of the frames. Listen to me this morning.
No.
Whatever God's got there, it is great and glorious. And he's going to get every bit of glory.
Yes.
God, when that thing actually comes out and he calls to revelation, them, oh my God, what comes from my lips? Praise.
Oh,
huh?
Praise.
Praise. Praise.
Gloria.
Praise.
Gloria.
Weeping. Man, joy for the light. With joy. Can you say joy? Can you say joy? Joy coming. So we carry the burden. But the joy outweighs the burden.
Yes, 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 yes.
And so we are seemingly distressed, but we are released. We're free. Seemingly abandoned, but we're never forsaken. Is it possible for us not to be in God's presence? No, because we're in Him. I know our problem is. Problem is we don't know who we are.
That's it.
So where am I? So I'm a citizen of this country. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I'm a pastor. And well, I can name a whole lot of other things. Why are you eternally?
Yes, sir.
In Christ. Everybody say in Christ.
In Christ.
Say it again.
In Christ.
That's who you are.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
And these are experiences of life.
Yes.
No matter how trying they are. No matter how intimidating they are. No matter how depressing they might be at times. They're all a sin to the high authority. That's why there's a verb there. It's ascending. It's not stationary, it's ascending. It's there because God has use for it. God has use for me being sick? Yes. If not, why are you sick? Well, you know, no. All creatures, are living creatures, are creation, is subjected. Why did God subject it? According to the 8th chapter of Romans, He subjected it, but it's in hope. In other words, that thing is depicted testimony in time, but is in hope. But the only hope you have is an eternal hope.
No.
I hear you.
Thank you,
Jesus. I hear you.
Thank you, Jesus.
There is no hope other than what is eternally set. And complete.
Yes, yes.
And you know what? It's there. It's been there. And whatever you see doesn't change the fact that it's there.
Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus.
The thing that we experience in these frames, you know, the matrix is nothing but a field of representations of trillions of frames. And whatever's in that individual frame, God placed it there. And there are trillions of them. And we're moving through them so fast. Seems like we're standing still, but we're not. Everything is moving. But it works to the end. We'll take this up next week. Just read the rest of that in the Greek. For there...
Every soul authorities to superior being subject, for there is no authority except by God.
Except.
And.
That's epo.
Epo.
That's from.
From, right.
In other words.
Except from.
Source. It's epo. From God. Right? And the what?
And the existing.
Yeah, don't say ones. And the existing.
By God.
Uh-uh.
From God.
Epo, from God.
From God. From God.
Why do we stop in exegete?
Having been
because
ordained.
Because if you don't, and you go by just the translation, and some of these translations are pretty good, and the interlinear guy here, many times he does me good. I'm proud of him this morning because he knew not to just make that an adjective. it's adjectival, but it's a verb. It's a verb adjective. Mm-hmm. And so he tried to account for that. He put two there. Of course, that would make it an infinitive, but he put two there, but he did put a footnote about it. He's letting you know that he knew that that's a verb. So here it is ascending to God. All that existence is from God. All in existence. Now that's going to be a hard thing for us to. Time is gone. It's going to be a hard thing for us to. Did you finish that, Brother Deacon? Verse 2.
From God, having been ordained.
Okay, we're gonna stop. We're gonna stop there because if I get into that, we have another 15, 20 minutes. But we'll start there next week. Having been ordained.
Hallelujah.
When do things first exist? In God. In eternity. And once they are there, they're there. We say a thing is here and then it's gone. We're talking about depictions in time, in frames, where everything is moving. Everything is changing.
Amen.
And we're not able to keep up with it, you know. And it seems that it's unstable, the unstableness. And this is what frightens us. Instability. Once we understand that all things are stabilized, then we sing this morning before we get before the message. On Christ, everybody say
on Christ.
The solid rock I stand. That means each and every in that sense, but then it encompasses everything in existence. All that's not in him is sinking sand. In him, everything is stable. Out of him, nothing is stable. In him, everything is lasting, eternal, and enduring. Out of him, nothing is lasting, eternal, enduring. Oh, what a shame that the majority of God's people going to close their eyes. Wake up where you always were and all. They finally realize just how good he is. Isn't God good? Isn't he great? Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he gracious? Hey, hallelujah.